We have a clan system, that's number one. To know what that is and what is it within the Oneida Nation? We have three clans. And then our spirit name, our Indian name, what does that mean? And that has teaching within the clan systems of what that means and where that identifies you to the family that you come from. We are a matriarchal society, so we follow on the mother's side. But we also have to know the father's side too. And so, and the third one is the language that is given to us. How much of that do you know? Do you speak the language? And then the fourth one is our home. What is our home? What does it mean? Put that all together comes your ceremonies. Do you go to ceremonies? And how much of that ceremonies do you go to? How much of that can you translate of the meaning to your children? That is different, that's what makes you different than anybody else. Because you can relate to who you are, what you are, when you are, why you are. Because everybody's looking for that. Not everybody has that. And so that makes you distinct and that makes you different from anybody else. Lots of our people are trying to fit into that world, into the Canadian society. And then if you ask to ask our people, are they Canadians? That's where the Turo comes back in. Mm-hmm. You know, they have their culture, their ways, their teachings, their belief system and all that, and we have ours too. But ours is older than theirs. And they don't like that. When anything of what you explain that goes beyond in their teaching, they won't accept it. The modern society of today doesn't accept that. They want to be the dominant. So for us to get into the United Nations in Geneva, it's not because we're Canadians, and it's not because we're Americans. So when you say we're Haudenosaunee, then it goes back to the Great Turtle Island. And what is the Great Turtle Island? As long as we can do that, they can never be.
Back in our history, we can say that there was a lot of turmoil amongst our people. It was the young men became thirsty, in a sense, for war. And they created war upon villages. There was a mother and her daughter. The mother, she felt really uneasy about staying in the village, in their village, because it was because of the unknown what might happen to her daughter. Her daughter at the time was probably, you know, they kind of relate to it, to her to be about 9 or 10 years old. She decides that she wants to take her away from all of that. And it comes to her mind to, you know, go away and isolate until something or whatever can be done in regards to their village not being rampaged by the by all of these young men, or as it was warriors. And the thing about it was is that the reason why she had that fear was because these men were going into these villages and they were stealing the women and children. They were using them or utilizing them as trade objects to other villagers or other villages. And so when they made trades, you know, upon, you know, some of the young women and some of the children, you know, they would, you know, they would be far away from their main, where their own villages were. It almost depicts the way things are today, where we hear a lot of things of, you know, of our women and young women that are being coerced in a way, taken away from their families, either sold or whatever to other communities. Sometimes they're even taken out of state or even out of country. You know, that was a part of our history that had happened too.
Like the journey of the peacemaker came at a time where, you know, we were at war. Like it was a terrible time. And like he had to bring peace to these warring people. And he had help. Like, you know, he had a message and he knew what his message was. And he wasn't afraid to go into these communities of warring people and say, I have a message of peace.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is going to save your people. So it was like, those are our ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
yeah.
That's our bloodline. No matter, you know, like, it's in our blood that we still have that strength and that love and that compassion for our people. And, you know, like, he did it because he knew it was the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Going into these nations of warring people and you come in with peace, you were probably afraid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, that's a scary thing. And he didn't give up.
So when he came upon him, it was like the initial appearance of Tododaho wasn't even human-like, you know, but he knew that there is a good in this man, even though, you know, he is evil, you know, towards people and to everyone around him. In order to have peace, it has to start from your mind. It has to begin from your mind. You have to create that peace, and that's your power. That's your power is, you know, is your mind of how you utilize it. You know, you can utilize it in a way that is good, and that's what the Creator wants you to do, is to utilize it in that way as good. Anything that you can think of that the Creator had created for your well-being on Earth, He didn't create anything that would be there to disrupt your life, to destroy your life, to, you know, to cause ill will to you as a human on this Earth. He's created everything and thought of everything of what would be good for you, you know, each individual person on this Earth. And so that's kind of the analogy that he came to bring them to really think about, you know, what they were doing, you know, to others, which was, you know, not in a good way. So that was what the peacemaker did.
Mm-hmm.
Was to be able to challenge their own thinking and to bring their minds back into a proper place. And so that was the whole thing, was to be able to do that, find these most notorious men and change their thinking.
Those two lifestyles are so different.
Mm-hmm.
So even though I was trying to implement and pull from our teachings with my business and have everything natural and have those medicines there, we kind of grew to a point where it was kind of impossible for me to keep a balance of having to be grounded to nature and living that way, because then I was consumed by making money to take care of my staff and to make sure our overhead costs were met. And I got really sick. And when everything came to a head for me, it was like, I believe it was like Creator's saying, you know, you forgot why you started this. And so it was like I had to go through another level of recovery in my healing and how I did that was to do it for real with the land. And so I became really connected with the earth, and I was working with the plants and starting a farm and building a home here. Because I was in the city in a great big house in Lambeth, and I had like an executive home and 4 bedrooms, and I had everything. But I wasn't happy, because I was like, this is, what the hell, how the hell, like one day it just hit me, like, what the hell am I doing here? Like, this isn't, this, not, there's, like, I know what the teachings are, and that's why I started this company, was to be self-sustainable so that I could do the teachings and provide opportunity that way for a community. But that's really not what was happening, so I kind of took a little fall, and I had to rebuild myself, and I'm doing it here on the land.
It will affect them, and that's what the teaching tells us, is that if you don't follow the ways and you don't follow the teachings, then somewhere along the line you will, because you become lost. And in the world that we live in today, it's a lot of suicides, because they don't know, they don't fit in. So there's like, what's the use of living? So you have alcoholism, you have drug addiction, and you have many addictions. And prior to the 30s, 39, is that our communities never had cancer, never had diabetes. So we got to understand what happened. The more we got away from our society and our belief system as a result of residential schools, we're paying for that today. Champlain stood on by the St. Lawrence River, and he looked and he says, as far as the eye can see, cornfields. As far as the eye can see, orchards. We were self-sustaining. Mm-hmm. There was nobody died of hunger. Nobody starved to death. There was no starvation of any kind. We had enough food stored away to last for 7 years. What do we have today? Don't have any of those things. We never had fat people. We never had cancer. We never had diabetes. So how do we get back to our well-being? That's a question that's in front of us, and that's a choice that we have to make.
They say that Tadadaho was born, and he was special. Like, he had these extra gifts. Mm-hmm. And the community didn't know how to accept him with these gifts. So his mother took him outside of the village and like kept him in the woods, and she would still check on him and take care of him, and but those visits became longer, where she stopped checking on him, and then she just all of a sudden didn't come back. So Tadadaho was a little boy who was kind of like abandoned because of his gifts, and he was abandoned to raise himself and on his own in the forest without anybody, without any guidance. Mm-hmm. And he also had that hurt. He was also, you know, he had that longing of, you know, missing the community, of not being a part of anything, of feeling unwanted. You know, he had all those negative feelings, and they just festered into a man who was viewed as the most terrible man.
The residential schools obviously had a huge impact on everybody, even today.
90% of our people is affected by it.
And that's created trauma.
Sure.
Within a lot of people. So the impact of the church, why don't you talk just a little bit about that and what the effect that it's had on us?
Well, you look at the church doesn't give a goddamn whether you have a clan or not. They don't care whether you have an Indian name or not. There goes your first two cultures out the window.
Because I think that's what we're missing. And that's how the government was able to do so much damage to our people, is because he took what made us thrive.
Yeah,
that's it. Sibley.
And blame the government?
Yeah. but that's what made us thrive. That was our entire piece of our livelihood and who we are as a people, is the land. First having that good mind and then understanding to be thankful for that jinghakwan, that life sustenance. 13 moons,
mm-hmm.
It tells us right there what we're supposed to be doing for each moon cycle, whether it's hunting and gathering, whether it's planting, whether it's maple syrup time, or whether it's time to put the seeds in. Like, we're supposed to be always busy.
Two teachings that they used to give us, the old people. Never hurt anybody. Don't ever hurt anybody to get a hit. And never use anybody. That's rule number one. Rule number two, don't ever hurt yourself. Simple, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And if you live by that, people are going to know.
Yeah.
Then they're going to trust you. You don't go to them and say, trust me.
The thing that was really confusing for me was, in our ways, you're always supposed to think of the good in people. And you're always supposed to believe without a doubt that everyone has goodness in them, no matter how bad they've been. And the reason why we have that belief is because of Tarodaho and because of Jigunsaze, who is our first clan mother also, because she was also really evil. And she used to manipulate men. And she was a witch, and she used that power for her own benefit. And so the thing for me that I really struggled with was, how do you know? I think for myself, it was more of a personal learning. Like, you can see the best in everybody, but it doesn't mean you have to go through the shit.
Mm-hmm.
And you can believe in the best in a person from way over here.
Yeah. I didn't have limits,
mm-hmm.
saying, you can't do that. That's not gonna work. Like, you gotta try it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I was raised, and I'm thankful for that that thought process, because I don't have those barriers in my mind like some do.
And they used to tell our young people, especially the ones that are just coming of age, like to puberty,
mm-hmm.
that they tell them that they need to be outside in the early morning, and they need to breathe in that dew, because you know how when the sun comes and the dew, like how it kind of
mm-hmm.
comes up like that off the grass, that's medicine for you. And when you're a young person, you're supposed to be breathing that medicine in. So you're supposed to get up early enough to be able to do that, because that's going to help you. It's going to help strengthen your mind and your body.
The four-leggeds are our relatives. They're our family. We only, they was in the teachings they've given to us so that we can exist. So we only take what we need. So when we go hunting, we don't just kill anything and everything. We only take what we need. Same thing with fishing, you know? Same thing with picking medicines. We only take what we need, not any more than that.
Ayo.